Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak at Shalom, and now we are beginning our study of Masechet Shavuot, which follows immediately on the heels of Masechet Makot, and the Gemara will immediately discuss that juxtaposition. We have a somewhat curious anomaly at the beginning of Masechet Shavuot, which we last encountered at the beginning of Sanhedrin, in which the entire first parak of Mishnayot is presented in the Gemara, the way the editors laid it out, before any Gemara is discussed. For purposes of our shiur, I'll give a quick overview to the Perek of Mishnayot and what it's doing here. It's somewhat strange. And then we will immediately go, after studying the first Mishnah, we will go to the Gemara. We will not return to the Mishnah in proper pedagogic fashion until about three podcasts in, when we start analyzing the rest of the Perek. However, those parts of the Perek that are germane to understanding the overview and the first discussion, I will mention. The topic of this Masechet is Shvuot, is oaths that are taken. And briefly, there are four different types of oaths that a person may voluntarily take. One of them is called Shvuat Bitui, and that is our focus at the beginning. Shvuat Bitui is when a person commits to something, commits that he will do something, that he will not do something, perhaps in the future, perhaps in the past, and we'll discuss that difference forthwith. Another type is Shvuat Shav. A person takes an oath which has no value whatsoever. Either he's declaring that something which is patently false is true, or vice versa, or that he's declaring that something that's patently true is true, and everybody knows it to be true, and therefore his Shvuah accomplishes nothing. That is a violation. Shvuat Shav. The third kind of Shvuah, which is listed in Sefer Vayikra Perek Hei, along with our first type, is called Shvuat Ha'edut. When a person takes an oath to the effect that he is not aware of any testimony that could help a fellow who is suing him to come and testify, and it turns out he's lying. That's Shvuat Ha'edut, and if he's lying, then the liability is the same as Shvuat Bitui. It's a korban that we will talk about in a moment. The fourth type is Shvuat Ha'pikadon, which is, in case anybody owes money to another, either because he was a shomer for him, or because he stole from him, or because he found something of the other fellow's, where he owes him money, and the other fellow sues him, and he denies the liability, that's called Shvuat Pikadon. And, of course, if it turns out he's lying, then in some circumstances he would be liable to pay back, plus a one-fifth fine, plus a korban asham. Now, there is a Shvuah, an oath, that we've been very familiar with through our study of Masechet Nezikin, of Seder Nezikin, which is administered by the Beit Din. That's called Shvuat HaDayanim, but that's not going to be our topic for quite a while in the Masechet. Our focus at the beginning will not be about Shvuot at all, as I'll explain right away, but then it will be on to Shvuat Bitui. Now, the liability for Shvuat Bitui, which is really what ties us into these first two parakim, is a korban referred to as korban olevi oreid, literally a korban that goes up and down, meaning that its value fluctuates based on the wealth and the financial capability of the one who must bring it. And therefore, this korban olevi oreid is one who brings for Shvuat Ha'edut or Shvuat Bitui when it turns out to be false. Person says, tomorrow I'll eat this bread. And then tomorrow the day comes and doesn't eat the bread. He has to bring that korban. It's also for Shvuat Ha'edut. Of our four Shvuot, that these two have the korban olev yoreid. Another violation that's in the Torah, that the violation of which carries the responsibility of a korban olev yoreid, is what we refer to as halim tum'ah. And that is, if somebody forgets that he's tamei and eats kodshim, or forgets that he's tamei, he knew he was tamei, forgot he was tamei, ate kodshim, or went into the mikdash, and then realized afterwards what he had done, he has to bring a korban olev yoreid. As a result, because this issue of halim tum'ah doesn't really belong anywhere else in Shas, although properly it belongs in Masechet Kretot, but because it's not dealt with anywhere else, it's dealt with here, and as we will see, the first two parakim of Masechet Shvuot have nothing to do with Shvuot, except for the opening line. They all focus on Yediot HaTumah. Indeed, the name of the second parak is Yediot HaTumah. For that reason, we're not going to go any further than the first parak until about the third, fourth podcast in, when we get to that piece in the Gemara, and we'll go back to the Mishnayot. Okay, enough introduction. Shvuot Shtayim Shehen Arba, which essentially means there are two essential Shvuot which become two more, so a total of four. We'll see what that means. Yediot HaTumah Shtayim Shehen Arba, the same thing with Yediot HaTumah. Yitziot HaShabbat, carrying on Shabbat, Shtayim Shehen Arba, and Marot Negaim Shtayim Shehen Arba, meaning different kinds of hues or colors of discoloration of skin, which qualifies as Sara'at, commonly miscalled leprosy, but that's what it is. Okay, skip now to the end of Amud Bet, and we'll see the Gemara, and we'll see this follows. Mechti Tana Mimakot Salik, since our Tana just finished Masechet Makot, Tosfot here asks, we don't really claim that the Masechtot were put in a specific order, therefore why they asked this question, but where we can tie them together we do, just as we do famously with Sota and Ketubot, Nedarim, Nazir and Sota. So since the Tana just finished Makot, Maishtana Tani Shvuot, why is Shvuot next? So the answer they give is Mishum the Tani Chayav al Rosh Shtayim Achat Mikan v'Achat Mikan v'Al Zakan Shtayim Mikan u'Shtayim Mikan v'Achat Lamata. If you recall, in the third parak of Makot, towards the end, we started listing violations for which you would do one act and get multiple sets of Makot. And therefore, Charen Mechayev Alatarti, since we had examples of one action that could get you two or more culpabilities, Tana Shvuot Shtayim Shehen Arba. Therefore, this model of Shvuot Shtayim Shehen Arba, which is not at all alike, because here it's not one act that will get you multiple culpabilities, it is two violations that are in the Torah that branch into two more that are considered midoraita, but they're all independent things. You can't do any of them, any two of them at the same time. But because there's this multiplication or multiplying of isurim, so they put it in. So now, ma'ishna hachadetani luhu lekulu, ma'ishna gavi itziot shabbat marayin negayim deloktani luhu lekulu. So another sequencing and rhetorical question is, why is it that in our case, we listed all of Shvuot, Yediot HaTumah, Yitziot Shabbat, and Marot Negaim, and whereas in Masechet Shabbat, all it says is Yitziot Shabbat, Shtayim Shehen Arba, and the first Mishnah in Negaim says Marot Negaim, Shtayim Shehen Arba, but doesn't go into the other three. So Amri, the answer that they gave in the Beit Midrash was Shvuot v'Yediot HaTumah degabe hadad ektivin, Shvuot and Yediot HaTumah that are written next to each other in the Torah, in Vayikra Hei. V'damina hadadi v'korban olah v'yored, and they have in common korban olah v'yored, Tana lehu gabei hadadi. So the Tana originally organized Shvuot Shtayim Shehen Arba and Yediot HaTumah Shtayim Shehen Arba as a composite piece because they share so much in common. So therefore, once they mentioned the two, they mentioned all four things in Shas that have this Shtayim Shehen Arba system. Okay, so now another question about the sequence is Patach b'Shvuot u'mefaresh Yediot HaTumah. The Tana began with Shvuot, that's the Masechet, but then the whole parak and the next parak is all about Yediot HaTumah, which is out of order. If you want to follow the order and do everything, then list the opening line, the opening Mishnah, then give a whole presentation of Shvuot, then a whole presentation of Yediot HaTumah, and if you want, do Shabbat and Negaim also. The answer is, I did the Zutrin Milayu, since Yediot HaTumah has very few halachot, Pasik Shari Lehu. So he wanted to glue them and cover them and be finished with them and move on. V'hadatani Shvuot, and then go to Shvuot, to Nefishin Milayu, because Shvuot has lots and lots of different details. There are, of course, as I said, five different Shvuot, four which a person could take on his own, fifth administered by the Dayanim, lots and lots of details about who takes a Shvuot, in what case there's Hatpasah b'Shvuah, and on and on. Shvuot Shtayim Shehen Arba, so now let's see what they are, because right now we're going to try to assess who could be the author of a Mishnah. So first let's interpret what the Shtayim Shehen Arba are. Shvuot Shtayim Shehen Arba means Shtayim is she'ochal v'shele ochal. The Torah says in the key pasuk, Adam ki shava levate bisfatayim, if a person expresses something, lehara o lehitiv, to do something bad or to do something good, which we understand to be to avoid something or to enjoy something. So the example that we give is she'ochal v'shele ochal. If he says, I'm going to eat something tomorrow, or I'm not going to eat something tomorrow, or later today, or next week, or ever in my life. Shehen Arba, what are the four, meaning the two that spin off of that? Achalti v'shelo achalti. And we'll see that much later in the Masechet, how we get to the past. If you take an oath that I did eat or didn't eat, which is not really a commitment to anything, but testimony about something you did, that's Shvuot. Yediot HaTumah Shtayim Shehen Arba, what are those? Shtayim Yediat Tum'at Kodesh V'Yediat Tum'at Mikdash. Meaning, you knew that you were eating Kodeshim, or you knew that you were going into the Mikdash, you forgot you were Tameh. What's Shehein Arba? Kodesh Umiktash, meaning that you knew you were Tameh, you forgot this was Kodeshim. Or you knew this was you were Tameh, but you forgot that somehow that this was the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, that's the Shehein Arba. Yitziyot HaShabbat, Shtayim Shehein Arba. What's that? Shtayim Hotza'a, Da'aniv Hotza'a De'Balavayit. Meaning, either the Da'aniv Balavayit is built on the Mishnah at the beginning of Shabbat, the Ani is standing outside and the Balavayit is standing inside. And so it could be either the Ani reaches inside and takes something out, or the Balabayit picks something up from inside the house and puts it out. Hotza'ah, going outside. From Rishut HaYachid, Rishut HaRabim. Shehein Arba, what's that? Hachnasah, the other two are going inside. The Ani, Hachnasah, the Balabayit. The Ani picks something up from the outside, puts it in the house, so the Balabayit reaches out and brings something into the house. Okay, good. Marot Negaim, Shnaim Shehein Arba, what are those? Shnaim are Se'etu Vaheret, the two that are expressly written in the Torah, which we say se'et looks something like wool, and baheret looks something like snow. Shehein arba'a, which there's another two. Se'et v'toldata, baheret v'toldata. Each one has a slightly duller hue, which is its tolada, and we'll see development on that a little bit later on. Okay, so here's the question that all of that was leading to. Mani matnitin, who could be the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yishmael v'lo Rabbi Akiva. Which, by the way, in our case, is basically saying it couldn't be anybody. Because Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva were the two main schools in their generation, in the first third, let's say, of the second century. And so it's not Rabbi Shmuel, it's Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Akiva, it's nobody. So that's basically the question. E Rabbi Yishmael, why can't it be Rabbi Shmuel? Ha'amar eno chayav ela al hatid lavo. Rabbi Shmuel says that when it comes to Shavuot, you're only liable for Shavuot in the future. If you take a Shavuot, I did eat, and it turns out you didn't eat, that's not, there's no liability for that. We'll see if there's no liability or only limited. E Rabbi Akiva, for Rabbi Akiva is the author, Amar al-Halam Tumah u'chayav eno chayav al-Halam Mikdash. When it comes to Diyot HaTumah, Rabbi Akiva says, there's no Shtayim Shein Arba, because you're only liable for forgetting your Tameh, not if you knew you were Tameh, but forgot this was the Mikdash or the Kodesh, or eating Kodeshim. So the answer is, Ibaitim Rabbi Shmuel, Ibaitim Rabbi Akiva. We can answer either way. Ibaitim Rabbi Shmuel, we could say it's Rabbi Shmuel, Mehem Lechiyuv Min Latur, meaning, Shtayim Shein Arba, what Rabbi Shmuel says is, and two of them you're Chayiv for, and another two that you take, but you're Potter for, which are past tense. Ibaitim Rabbi Akiva, Mehem Lechiyuv Min Latur, and the same thing with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva will say, Yediyot HaTumah Shtayim Shein Arba, two of which you are liable for, and two of which you're not liable for. All right, so let's see. Liftur, could that really work? Hadumi the Marot Negaim Ktani. They were listed, Shvuot and Yediyot HaTumah were listed along with Marot Negaim and Shabbat, by the way. Ma'atam Kul Chiyuvan, by the way, Marot Negaim, all four hues. If you have a discoloration on the skin that looks like a membrane of an egg, which is the told of Se'et, you're still Tameh. And if you carry going inside instead of outside, you're also Chayav on Shabbat. Havachanami Kul Chiyuvan. So therefore, you have to say that both Yediyot HaTumah, all four, and Shvuot, all four, have to be all the Chiyuvah. You can't say Tur Chayiv, Tur Pater. So the answer we give is Leolam Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel, we could go with V'chilom HaChayiv Rabbi Shmuel L'Shavar Korban. Rabbi Shmuel, as I mentioned, as I hinted to earlier, doesn't totally exempt an oath about the past, but rather he says you're not chayav the korban, but you are chayav malkot. Malkot chiyuv mechayev. Uchid Rava. How so? De Amar Rava. Beferush ribta Torah shvuat sheker dumi de shvuat shav. The Torah said that shvuat sheker, meaning an oath that you take where you state a lie, is similar to shvuat shav. Shvuat shav is where you take an oath that's just meaningless. Ma shav l'shavar. Just like shav is about the past, meaning I swear that I saw a man flying in the air with his own power, or I swear that that woman is really a donkey. Those are Shvuat Shav. Av Sheker Nami Shavar. Therefore, Shvuat Sheker could also apply to the past, and therefore you cannot bring a korban because that's part of the subset of Shvuat Bitui. But as a general Shvuat Sheker, where you took an oath and you said something untrue, I ate bread yesterday or I didn't eat bread yesterday, you would get makot. So Bish, now let's see if that works. Bish the machalti below achalti. I understand if you say that I ate, but you didn't really eat kedurava. That's Shvuat Sheker. But shelo ochal ve'achal, if you take an oath that I will not eat, but you do eat, nami lav sheish pomasu, then I understand you get makot, because now we're reading that Rabbi Ishmael's entire constellation is about makot. He says, that I understand, because that's a lav sheish pomasa. You said you weren't going to eat, you did eat. Ela ochal ve'lo achal, but let's say you say I'm going to eat and you don't eat, amai lav sheish pomasu. Why would you get makot then? Korban, I understand, doesn't depend on you doing an action. Korban is for the wrong shvua. But you can't get makot for an inaction. And if you take an oath, I will eat, and you don't eat, how could you get makot? And according to us, Rabbi Ishmael is saying all four are makot, not korban. So the answer, Lav Shem Masahu, the answer is Kesav Rabbi Ishmael, Lav Shem Masah, Lokin Alav. This we dealt with quite a bit at the end of the makot. Rabbi Shmuel must be of the opinion, like we saw perhaps Rabbi Yehuda holds, that lav she'in mo ma'aseh lo kina lav. You get makot for a lav, even of an action. So, yachi kash Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. But if that's the case, that our Mishnah is representing Rabbi Shmuel, and the Shtayim Shein Arba are all makot, and that means that our Stam Mishnah teaches that you get makot for a lav she'in mo ma'aseh, then we've got a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. Te'am Rabbi Yochanan halacha ki Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan famously said, the halacha follows a Stam Mishnah. Meaning, if there's no name, which means halacha follows our Mishnah. But ve'itmar shvua she'ochal kikar zu hayom ve'avar yom v'lo achala. If you take an oath that you're going to eat a particular loaf today, and the day goes and you don't eat it, Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish tamei tavayu ain't all okay. We saw this at the end of Makot. Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish agree you don't get Makot. But what's Rabbi Yochanan's stated reason? Rabbi Yochanan Amar ain't all okay. Mishum nahavi lav shein v'maseh v'chol lav shein v'maseh in lokin alav. Rabbi Yochanan expressly ruled you don't get Makot for lav shein v'maseh. So how could we say that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Ishmael and the Shtayim Shein Arba are Makot? That would mean that our Stam Mishnah rules that you are given Makot for Alav Shein Mamaseh, including when you said, I will eat and tomorrow you don't eat. Rish Lakish Amar, I know Lokev, Ahatrat Safeki. Rabbi Shlakish, if you recall, says you do get Makot for Alav Shein Mamaseh, but we have a different problem here, which is Hatrat Safek. When are they warning you about it? If they say, you better not avoid eating that, well, we don't know if you're going to violate it. V'atrat safek lo shma atrat. We dealt with that again in the third parak of Makot. So how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan rules that lav shein mamaseh in lokin alav, where he also rules that halacha kestam mishnah? The answer is Rabbi Yochanan stam achrina ashkach. He found another stam mishnah which supports his position. So, hey stama, which one? Ile mahi stama, if it's the one at the end of Makot, nana valamotir batar v'shaver b'tameinu loket arbayim. He said that if you break a bone on a proper Korban Pesach, you get Makot. But if you leave over a proper Korban Pesach, or break a bone in a Tomei Korban Pesach, ein olo ket arbayim, you don't get Makot. I understand why you don't get, that's the Mishnah. So I understand why you don't get Makot for breaking the bone in a Korban Pesach Tomei. Tichti ve'etzem lo tishperu vo. Don't break a bone on it, meaning bekasher, one that you're eating. V'lo pasul. Okay, it doesn't apply to it. Aval hamotir betahor, my taima. Why do you not get makot for leaving over, for notar, of a proper Korban Pesach? Lav mishum nahave lav shein mamaseh. Isn't it because there's no action involved? So you see, the Mishnah rules that ein lokin alav shein mamaseh, and that's his other stam. Cholav shein mamaseh and lokin alav? So who says, v'mayi Rabbi Yaakov, he amalav shein mamaseh and lokin alav? Who says that the author of that Mishnah in Makot is Rabbi Yaakov, who says you don't get makot for lav shein mamaseh? Tilma Rabbi Yehuda hi, Mishum Deba Katub, Liten Aseh Achar Lo Taseh. The famous Braita, we've seen it many times already, where Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to Notar, why did the Torah add in that don't leave anything over, and whatever you leave over, burn, is to give you an Aseh afterwards to tell you you don't get Makot, not because it's a Lav Shein Lo Aseh, but because it's a Lav Anitak La Aseh. Halav Achi Laki, the Tanya Lo Tzim, Anab Bokar, Anohar, Anab Bokar, Aish Tisrofu, Ba Katub, Liten Aseh Achar Lo Taseh, Lama Shein Lo Kinal, Di Rabbi Yehuda. So in other words, the Mishnah that just says you don't get Makot for Notar, we don't know why. It could be because, A, it's a Lav Anitak La'aseh. B, because Lav Shein Mamaseh in Lokin Alav. And C, it could be because of Hatrat Safek. We've got three possible reasons, and we don't know what the reason is. So you can't prove to me from that Stam that the position of the Stam Mishnah is that Lav Shein Mamaseh in Lokin Alav. Rabbi Yaakov disagrees, says, Lo Min Hashem Uzel, Mishum Davi Lav Shein Mamaseh, Lav Shein Mamaseh in Lokin Alav. So that stam isn't going to help us. El ahai stam, it must be a different stama. Ashkach. Here's what Rabbi Yochanan found. Later on in our Masechet, the third parak, when we finally start dealing with Shvuot, says, Shvua shelo ochal kikar zu, shvua shelo ochalena. If you take an oath and say, I will not eat that piece of bread, and you take another oath and says, I will not eat it. V'achalan, you went and ate it, ein ochayav el achat. And that Mishnah is there to teach you that ein shvua chal ala shvua, shvua cannot chal on itself. And therefore, once you already banned yourself from eating this bread, another ban doesn't make it a double whammy. So if you're only chayiv one korban, so the Mishnah then says this is the kind of shvuat pitui that if you violate it on purpose, you get makot, and by accident you have the korban olevi oreid. Now our comment is zuhi This is the one that you're chayv makot for. Aval ochal velo achal. But if you take the opposite one, where you say I will eat and you don't eat, lo laki, you don't get makot because lav shin malase in lo kino lav. So mechti aistama my chazid avid ki aistama lavid ki aistama. So since we have a stam mishnah at the beginning of Masechet, that according to our interpretation now is Rabbi Shmuel, and it's about makot, and you get makot for lav shin mamaseh, and the one in third parak, according to our interpretation, is representing that ain looking a lav shin mamaseh. So why did Rabbi Yochanan pick the third parak instead of the first parak? If you got competing stams, why did he pick the second one? And by the way, v'li tamech, Rabbi Gufa, hechisatam lan hacha achi v'hacha achi. How could Rabbi give us a stam mishnah in the first parak one way, and a third parak the opposite thing? Why did Rabbi do that? Originally, Rebbe thought that lav shein umaseh we get makot for, ustama, and then he presented the first parak without a name, without Rabbi Shmuel's name, to make sure that that was known to be the halacha. V'hadar sava in lokin alav, then he changed his mind, ustama, and therefore in the third parak he left it as an unstated, meaning unattributed mishnah. And therefore, you're chayav only for lav sheyesh po maaseh. You only don't get makot for lav sheyesh po maaseh. O mishnah lo zazam im koma. We have to remember that the mishnayot were taught orally and memorized. And once the Tana memorized it, we didn't want to mess around with that and have him try to change what he remembered. So therefore, Rebbe said, once it's that way, it's that way. And therefore, we're fine. Rabbi Yochanan decided to pick the second stam mishnah because he understood that that was Rebbe's final opinion, and that's the halacha. Okay, we'll pause at this point. As you can see, there's two help sheets associated with the shiur because it's both the entire presentation of the Mishnayot and the first presentation of the Gemara. In the meantime, we'll pick up on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph in the next shiur, in the next podcast. Everybody should have a wonderful day.